This is our class number 3 of the Spiritual Power for Success Momentum course. Today's date is November. Oh, God. November 16th, 2016. So let's go ahead and begin actually with reading the purpose of the course. There isn't a handout today because we're going to be using this as a catch-up and a healing class, so that we really don't need an organized handout per se. So who would like to start to read the first few sentences? Hang on one second. I just, there's something going on here with the dashboard. Just give me a minute, ladies. So sorry. Okay, there we are. Okay, they changed as I said, the design of the format, and I'm still getting used to it. Who'd like to read the purpose statement of our wonderful class here?
I can. And it's all,
okay, good. And you also see it that it's at the top of our Facebook page now. I'm going to keep that pinned at all times.
Great.
Okay, Barb, go ahead, hon.
The purpose of this course, Spiritual Power for Success Momentum, is to bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating life that you long to live, personally and professionally.
Thank you. And now just feel that, Barb, and then Mary, I'll have you read it as well. Good. Okay, Mary, dear, please go ahead.
The purpose of this course, bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating life that you long to live, personally and professionally.
And now just feel that, you know, as if you're breathing in perfume, you know? Okay, now let's jump into our grounding and protection so that we are fully soul aligned, and then we'll go into the content. We'll be reviewing. You'll get to ask questions. That's where we're heading next. So let's go ahead as your formula now, your advanced full formula. You'll do your grounding. You'll set up your protective shield. You'll make your declaring protective statement. You'll call your soul home. You'll sit in the center of your head. And you will then activate the transmissions of grace. And I will ask you to report in what differences you might have noticed as you went from one component to the next. Everybody clear what we're going to do now? Okay,
yes.
So I'll be quiet while you go ahead.
Ready.
Thank you.
I'm ready.
Beautiful. Okay, let's go ahead and have you tell us what you noticed, especially any difference from one component to the next. Who wants to go first?
Well, this is Barb.
Barb, hon, can you talk a little louder or get closer to the microphone?
Sure. I felt the shift when I called on the transmissions of grace. I felt the tingling throughout my body. And that's when I noticed a shift. I didn't notice a shift among the other components.
Okay, good. And what about how you felt before you did the whole formula, so to speak, versus now that you've done it? I always love to hear those before and afters, you know.
Well, that I feel the presence of the transmissions of grace now that I didn't before.
And describe again how you experienced them.
A tingling that moves up my body and moves through my arms and my fingers.
Okay. And what about mood? Are you able to notice anything about the mood that it leaves you in?
No, not particularly.
So it stays more on a physical sensation level. Do you notice anything about a shift in your attitude, the speed of your thoughts, state of tension or relaxation in your body, anything like that?
Well, I feel more relaxed.
Okay, good. Good. That. I mean, anything else I'd like to hear, but that's what I'm basically looking for.
And
anything else?
I think in part of that relaxation is that my thoughts slow down.
Your thoughts slow down?
Mm-hmm, as part of that relaxation.
Right. Okay. Good. There's a little noise in the background. Does anybody else hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Can it stop? Is it possible to stop it? Wherever it's coming from? Mary, are you there? Okay. All right, Mary, anything else about the effect, Barb dear, of the alignment on you?
No.
And when you do it, do you look forward to doing it, or does it just seem like, okay, she's going to ask us to do this again, here we go?
Well, I know it's coming.
Right.
And I'm always hopeful that I will feel a shift when I call my soul home. But it's really the transmissions of grace that are noticeable.
Great. Okay. So what do you notice? Anything at all? Either something you see, something you feel, the way in which your emotions might be impacted when you do that call your soul home process? Anything at all. Don't judge it now. Just anything at all.
Well, I'm pulling on the kite string, and I pull it down into my body, into my chest, and then pull it out, pull the string out the back to attach to the center of the earth.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really feel anything that's happening. I'm doing it, but I don't really feel anything. Sometimes I say, well, no, maybe the kite ought to be fighting me a little bit. And so I'll tug on it a little harder. But I don't really notice anything.
So when you tug on it a little harder, what happens? What do you notice?
No, I don't really notice any difference.
When you tug, does it move, or does it just still stay in a tug position?
Well, I tug on it so that it comes down into my body.
Right. And does it move enough so that it does come down into your body, or does it still stay stuck where it is?
Well, I just depend on the fact that it has actually moved. So I don't feel any, twitters or tickles or anything that it's when it's going inside. So I just depend on that it is coming.
Okay, so the good news is, excuse me, the good news is that if there were a real block or a congestion of any sort, whether it was an emotional block or whether it was a physical block or even a mental kind of block, most likely you would not be able to move it down. There would be a message that comes to you from your intuition for you to take note. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So the fact that it moves is a very positive thing. Mm. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, here's what I'd like you to do next time when you practice this. And that is that instead of you using the kite, let's have you imagine that it is a huge glass of light water, that is going to slowly pour in through the top of your head, and this is your soul energy. And it slowly works its way through you. You know, the way if you put a sponge over a puddle of water on the kitchen counter, the sponge slowly absorbs the moisture, right? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, what I'd like you to do is to have your spirit light water coming in through the top of your head, work its way through where your cells, your DNA, your spiritual cells, not just your physical cells, but your spiritual cells, are absorbing this light water. And let's just see, and this is what you're going to do during that segment of calling your soul home.
Okay.
And let's just see what happens. What I'd like you to do, please, is to do that for 2 days when you practice your complete soul alignment process.
Yep.
And please write your experience in our Facebook group, okay?
Okay.
Yep. And then after you do that for 2 days, don't do the kite one, just do that. And then after the 2 days, go ahead and do the kite exercise. And let's see if you notice a difference of using one technique over the other. Does that sound good?
Yep, yep.
Good. It's a little field research. Great.
Sure.
Good. Thank you, Barb. All right, Mary dear, go ahead. Please tell us your experience when you did the soul alignment this time.
So this time, I called my soul home. I went through the process, grounding and the protection prayer, and calling my soul home, and my hip was hurting. And this has been off and on for the past couple of weeks, and recently someone was saying, well, you know, that's female power. And then I was in the doing the center of my head, and it was like, your hip is hurting. And my transmissions of grace came and said, lean back. Lean into us.
Mm.
It doesn't hurt.
Hmm. Oh.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
And so with regards to now, when you did the exercise of the call your soul home, what did you notice?
I noticed that I was holding myself really tightly.
What does that mean? Can you say a little more about that?
It means that I was tense, calling my soul home.
Wait, let me just stop you for a minute because I want to track this. So right before you did call your soul home, you did the grounding and the protective shield and the protective prayer, right?
Yes.
Or did you do the center of the head first?
No, I was calling my, I did the progression, the grounded and the prayer, and I was calling my soul home, and I felt myself get really tense. I was like, okay, my soul is here. Why am I so feeling like I have to hold myself together?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, okay, maybe I'm too much in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into my head, and even though I was power washing, my hip hurt. Like, where's the focus here if you're cleaning things up in your head, and my female power is telling me, pay attention to me. And then the transmissions of grace came and said, lean back, lean into us.
Hmm. Just now that happened.
Yes.
Mm, that's magnificent. And then you went into the center of the head after that?
No, the center of the head was in the middle.
Okay.
Before the transmissions of grace.
Okay, got it. And then what happened with the transmissions of grace?
When they came in, when I was fretting about, my hip hurts, and they said, lean back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have been given such a gift, and you've created the space, you've allowed yourself to receive, and I'm just so happy for you. And you can use this as evidence that during all various levels of business stuff, you too, Barb, when you call on the transmissions of grace and your own higher stuff, you now know that there is a response.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
And with you, Barb, yours is visceral. And so when you're calling upon your higher self and the transmissions of grace and any other guides that, you know, as the course unfolds, I'll be talking a little bit more about other guides. You know, Barb, that you're registering in your physical sensation. Mary has a strong auditory and visual channel. Your channel, Barb, is definitely visceral, somatic in the body, and we'll see as time goes on what happens with your inner sight, which is clairvoyance and seeing, and your auditory, which is inner hearing, how that progresses. Anything else, Mary, that you want to share about the soul alignment shifting that you noticed?
That was so powerful and immediate.
Mm-hmm.
that I was thinking, oh, I gotta, how am I going to sit here? And then lean back. And that, just like that.
Okay, then. Right?
Yes. We're in the presence.
Yeah. Anything the two of you want to say about your experiences during the week when you use the soul alignment and just, you know, day-to-day life? When do you use it, and do you use it a second time on any given day? Just let's share about how the soul alignment process has been working for you with your day-to-day obligations and intentions and goals.
Well, I have done the 20-minute meditation daily, except for Saturday when I didn't know it was up.
I'm not talking about that one. Hang on. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about that one yet. We haven't gotten there yet. I'm just talking about the soul alignment, which is the energy management formula, the four steps of the energy management formula. Calling your soul home, doing the center of head, and if you do call upon the transmissions of grace, then that. That's all I'm talking about right now. So do you want to speak about that?
Sometimes I stop at calling my soul home to see if I can feel something. Sometimes I go all the way through, and sometimes I do the chakra embedding one.
Okay, we're not talking about. Hang on.
I know, but sometimes I do that instead.
Okay, good. You know, whatever you feel intuitively led to do is, you know, that's the wisdom of everybody having their own inner sense of what tools work for them. Right now, what I'm interested in is the impact of the energy management formula, the calling your soul home, and the center of head, because each of those by themselves are great tools to use where you can just grab them in a situation like an SOS raft when you need them. And that's the whole point of this course, is for you to feel so comfortable and feel so skilled at these tools that when day-to-day occurrences take place, you just grab them, like I said, like an SOS raft. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So based on that, what I'm asking for is for the two of you to report in on your usage of the what I am now referring to now as your complete soul alignment process. We're going to talk about the chakra one in just a minute, Barb.
Okay.
So have you used the center of head or have you used the center of head exercise at all, Barb, between last time we met and now?
Not independently of the rest of the energy formula. You remember that I reported several weeks ago about sending some negative feelings down my grounding cord. When I do the center of head, now in addition to power washing, I do a suction vacuuming.
That's great. Where do you do that? Where?
During the center of head.
Okay, great.
Cleansing. And so I've just sort of added that as an additional sort of a visualization that the cleaning is occurring.
Yeah. And so when you have done that, what did you notice, again, before and after?
I think it's still a visualization and an intellectual thing, knowing that it has cleared out.
Okay. So maybe with you, and do you notice any difference after you do it? So, for example, have you ever noticed that you were feeling anxious about something, or you felt not necessarily clear about maybe an action plan for the day, but that after you do that, you notice any kind of shift?
No. I need to try it different times of the day, I think. I typically do it in the morning.
Yeah, and okay. Is there any, what, I'm sorry?
To sort of set the day.
Yeah, that I definitely want everybody to do that anyhow. Have you used any of these exercises, including, although we're not going to go into depth quite yet, including the chakra exercise other than your morning setup self-care practice?
I did do the chakra exercise in the evening one day. If it's not entirely quiet, I get hung up on whatever's going on around me, and so
yeah.
I try to do it when I'm alone.
Right, right. Okay, well, the fact that you thought of doing one of your techniques other than a setup time is fabulous. Okay, good. Anything else about the soul? We're going to talk about the mindfulness bell. We're going to talk about the journal. We're going to talk further about the chakra exercise. Right now, what I'm looking to see is how this soul alignment exercise and the components are serving each of you as techniques to help you go more gracefully through any given day. That's what I'm focusing on now. So anything else that you want to add, Barb?
No.
Okay, good. All right, Mary dear, what has been your experience in using the full soul alignment formula, and have you used it as a full formula or parts of it during the day other than your morning setup?
I use parts of it, mostly the grounding and the blue flame when I'm in situations where I want to anchor myself as well as create that protective field and in empowering myself to do what I think I'm afraid to do.
Wonderful. And so the protective shield, the blue flame, give us one example of when you thought to use it and what happened.
Before I was going on stage yesterday. And what happened was I stepped on stage like I owned it.
Oh, I love it. Yes, and?
And I did not, this was to create the video to promote my speaking, so I wasn't making offers, I wasn't selling anything, but I made some connections, and I'm going to do follow-up calls today to see if we can have a longer conversation.
Great. So this was this a class or was this a shoot or what? What give us an idea of the setting, the environment, the purpose?
So Katarina Rando does a video day where it's for the speakers to use to promote their speaking business.
Right.
It's not a speaking event where, hey, we'll do some video of you. It's the cameras are set up to promote us, and we tell the videographer, I need a tight shot here, and that kind of thing.
Okay, great. So this you're in her speaker program, it sounds like.
No, this is a la carte.
Okay.
Outside of her community.
Okay. What was that? To use what?
She offers it outside of her community.
outside of her community. Okay,
so I don't have to be in a program with her to do this.
Okay, great. Great. So you did this so you could get a professional-looking video.
Right.
Okay, great. All right. So you used it, and it helped you to feel more in your sacred space where you were not as impacted by the outer environment. Is that what you experienced?
Correct.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Anything else, any of the tools other than that, that you used between the last time that we met and so on?
I recite the protective prayer occasionally, and just always knowing that I can call on the transmissions of grace when I'm really stressed is something that I rely on.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you used any of these exercises when you were problem solving or brainstorming or wanting to handle a situation better where you had to come up with an idea, not just an energetic state, but information?
Oh, yeah. I talked to my guides and said, we need to powwow here. And let's be creative.
And what happened as a result of that?
Get inspired. There's something that didn't occur to me. I will turn a page and something that I'm leafing through, and I'll see a phrase that sparks something that is a great idea for a blog or that's something that I can use when I'm writing something new for the marketing of the new program.
Yes, perfect, perfect. And of those tools, which one, if you can tell, seems to be the one that you get the most response from when you use it? Or are they all pretty much helpful and you don't know of one particular one that is the most reliable?
They're all helpful, and when I use them together, it's very powerful. But it's when I'm in the moment, the one that I'm most familiar with is the grounding and knowing that I can call on the transmissions of grace.
Yeah. Amen to that. And have you had any situations where the center of head was one that you intuitively felt you should use to support you through anything in particular that was going on?
You know, when I had the inner critic saying, "What do you think you're doing?" I just washed her away.
That is so fabulous. You're using it. You're using the tools. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is exactly what this course is about, is to free up that inner world so that we can proceed in the outer world. And our membership training call tonight is going to talk a little bit more about that as well. Great. Anything else that you want to share about the soul alignment components and the before and afters and anything like that?
No. No.
Great. Well, aren't you rocking it?
Yeah.
So now, Barb, honey, that now that you've heard Mary's experiences, so you have some ideas of what I'm talking about, when you reflect on, let's say, if either from last class to now or even over the last maybe week and a half, can you think of any day-to-day situations where you recalled which techniques to use, you know, based on what Mary has said she's been using in her day-to-day stuff?
I would say stopping when the bell goes off and asking for a message. And, it escapes me.
Okay, we're going to talk about the bell. We're going to talk about the chakra exercise. We're going to talk about the bell. Anything other than those have you, again, of this core toolkit? You see, the energy management formula, these four steps, meaning the full energy protection grounding cord, doing the video, and then the center of head, or the call your soul home, and then the center of head, and then the transmissions of grace. That is now your, we'll call it the foundation soul alignment toolkit. Okay, does everybody, you with me on that? And that is the one that I am the most interested in you getting really comfortable with, because that's like the ground you stand on in terms of energetic hygiene and energetic accessing to your intuition and energetic taking care of yourself. So that's why I keep coming back to this one. So, Barb. In reflection, have you had any other instances that you might not have remembered when I asked you earlier?
There have been a couple of instances when I sort of felt a panic coming on, and then I would repeat my belief that I have something of value to offer to the right person. And I find
wonderful.
That very, very calming.
Wonderful. Okay. Okay, great. The thing that I would recommend that you do as like a growth intention is to see if you can remember in a moment like that to do whatever you're doing with the belief work. That's fabulous. Also, for you to have a reflex of just tossing that stuff down your grounding cord and then breathing in to fill up the vacuum, breathing in earth energy and spiritual energy, which could include you breathing in the new belief. You know what I mean? I'd like to help you to use that one more, because that's what really works on the energetic circulation. You calling upon the belief system like that is fabulous. It's on the mental level, which is where you're very strong. And so that mental grabbing onto something that's going to shift your state comes naturally to you, and you're using it, and that's wonderful. And now maybe we can add another like depth of self-care, of you using that grounding cord to throw out, eject, reject what you just don't want to be experiencing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Great. I love it. Anything else you can think of?
No, not right now, but this does give me a lot of things to think about and observe more. Try to observe
yeah.
more carefully.
Yeah, exactly. Because the reason that I wanted to create this course also was to help you use these skills and know when to use them. Because, you know, a lot of workshops, a lot of trainings, they teach you a lot of incredibly great stuff. And, yes, they may offer you a Facebook group to, you know, ask questions and communicate with your community, but there really isn't that much of a implementation-focused repetition, do it and report back, do it, report back, do it, report back after the initial course, right?
Right.
Mary?
Yes, exactly.
And so the other purpose of this course is to have you customize these various tools so that you use them. You know, you use them.
Yeah.
Great. I love hearing that, Barb. Thank you for telling me about the belief thing. Okay, now let's talk about the bell. Who wants to share all kinds of experiences about using the mindfulness bell?
Well, it does stop me. Of course, I have to remember to turn it on because I don't have my phone on all the time at night. So I have to remember to turn the phone on because I'm not as dependent on it as some people are. And I do stop, and I take a couple of deep breaths, and I ask my higher power what I need to know now. Once I sensed that it was telling me I was wasting my time doing the particular thing I was doing, and once it said I was on the right track. But it doesn't answer me every time.
Well, but you got that one. So what was that? Tell us more about that one.
Well, I was doing a recycling project, which I get a little obsessed about. And the bell rang, and my higher power said, you know, this is a waste of your time. It's not getting you toward your goals. But it was something that I had begun, and I wanted to see through.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Oh, okay, sorry.
I knew that it was, you know, not the best use of my time, but I had been pursuing it. And so my higher self confirmed what I already knew.
Okay. And how did that make you feel? Were you able to really let that in?
I acknowledged it. I agreed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead anyway.
But what?
But continued to finish the project anyway.
Okay. Which is fine. I don't really have anything to say about it. Is there anything that you have to say about how all this has been going for you since last session?
Calling on, clarifying my beliefs and being able to use that as a mantra has been very, very helpful.
Yes.
And I like the bell. I will, you know, obviously keep on with the bell, and it's probably going to ring here in a minute. It does.
So you're using a different phone than your the one that has the bell on it, right now?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And it does make me pause and be in the moment.
And how does being in the moment help you? In other words, what would you say using this mindfulness bell does for you? Barb?
It gives me the opportunity to focus on something a little bit different, to sort of refresh and renew.
Okay, so it gives you a different perspective, a different energy with whatever it is you might be doing in the moment?
Yes. And that sounds a little counterproductive because it could be seen as interrupting my focus. But probably it interrupts it so that I can refocus more intently.
It definitely is interrupting your focus. And you're right. The purpose of the mindfulness bell is that when it goes off, it is a reminder to reevaluate how we're showing up in our world. And are we calling upon our connection to our source as much as possible. It's really a reminder to set a standard of how you want to be. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so knowing that, it sounds like that did do something for you when you were looking at that one project and wanting to reevaluate if you should continue doing it, right?
Yes. 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 And so in that case, my mind took over, and said, I'm going to ignore what you just told me and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually a very good experience because, as I'll be talking about in tonight's training, the power of one's will, our free will, is still very much ours as the human. Our spirit guides, our higher self, have their own influence, and ultimately it's us in the human body that determines what we do in that moment, right? So that's a very good experience for you to know what free will is like. See what I mean? Okay, great. You're having some wonderful experiences, Barb. Now tell me about, and then I'll come to you, Mary. Now tell me what you feel has been the impact of doing the chakra exercise, and please tell me how you were doing the chakra exercise. Like, describe the process that you went through.
Well, listening to your voice and trying to repeat what you were saying so that it was coming out of me, and then focusing but also trying to touch where my chakra was. And I'm not sure if that was what I should be doing in addition to visualizing. But
yes, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. You can touch that section or not. It's fine to touch it. Go ahead.
And so I worked my way up. I did find on a few occasions my mind sort of wandering, and I'd have to bring it back because your words were familiar. And so I would, as I said, need to sort of refocus and bring it back, implanting or embedding the image of the symbol of success was.
Go ahead.
Fun, it was interesting. Now I sort of open a door to my chakra and stick that in and slam the door shut.
like an oven?
Why
slam? Tell me a little bit about that.
Sort of indicates that I really mean this.
Okay.
I do have a question that just comes to mind. I have been focusing very closely on the video of the emotional feel. And then I realized that is not the same as the energy construct. So I need a little bit of help on differentiating between the video of the emotional feeling of success and embedding the energy construct.
It's just a knowing. What you would do is you would, like you say, put it in the hopper, put it in the oven, put it in your hand, and then put your hand over your chakra and know that it's being absorbed into your chakra. That's what you would do with the symbol, and then you set off a video of you accomplishing whatever that was that the symbol represents, right?
Right, right, right.
So what in there gets a little confusing for you?
Well, I noticed that you also say to be inserting or embedding, I don't know, to recognize the energy management, the energy construct.
Yeah.
So I need some help understanding what the energy construct is specifically.
Okay.
Is it our whole all of our tools, or how does that differ from the video of the emotions of feeling?
Okay. The energy construct, the video of your emotions, is you creating a new neural pathway in your brain of what it is you want and how it's going to feel when you get it, so that the subconscious mind can go about bringing you the people, places, and circumstances to fulfill that intention that you are embedding, that you are ingraining into your mind, okay? And your subconscious mind and your conscious mind. So that's what the video does, right?
Right, okay.
Now, the construct is when we have an experience, it automatically creates an energetic imprint in our energy field. And the more repeated that experience is, meaning if you keep putting your hand in a certain place and you keep getting it burned, that's a repeated action. It can happen at different times of your life, but ultimately it's a pattern that keeps repeating itself, right? And then that experience evokes an emotion of anger, pain, frustration, self, you know, judgment, like, when am I going to get this lesson already? And that all works together to create a construct in your energy field. Hence, when people talk about reprogramming to change a pattern, the reason that they have a pattern is because they have repeated something enough times with enough emotion that it now has become a pattern. That pattern has an energetic equivalent somewhere in their energy field.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
So you're very welcome. These are excellent questions. So a clairvoyant, and also as you guys get more sensitive with your inner sight and your clairvoyance, you will be able to scan your body and just notice where there's a different coloration. Maybe it's got a shape to it. Maybe it's contained in a certain area and not all over your body. That is your inner clairvoyant sight picking up on a construct. And a reader, like someone like myself, a clairvoyant, a psychic, an intuitive, a healer who has adeptness at just feeling energy in an aura, I can do that too. That person will notice that there's something going on in an energy field that's different than what's going on in another part of that same energy field. And they're picking up on a construct. Does that bring it into?
Yeah.
So it's different levels of the human unit presenting its manifestation of the same thing. A clairvoyant will see something. Somebody who's more feeling will run through your aura and feel it. A intuitive will just know it. They will pick up on it. And we're all talking about the same construct,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I want to make this point so we can be thorough. Mary, are you gaining from this?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say, for example, there's a person who goes to a series of healer-like people to help with a circumstance. And all these healer professionals are in different rooms, but they've all met on the same day. And they're going to meet one by one in private with this person who wants a healing. So the problem that this person wants to heal, let's say, is their pattern of sabotaging themselves. All right? They find that every time they get close to success, whether it's a financial goal or a relationship goal or a weight goal, or all of the above, as soon as they get really close to having what they want, all hell breaks loose and it all shatters into smoke, okay? So this person goes to this panel of professionals that help. First, she goes in and talks to a clairvoyant. And a clairvoyant is going to look through that person's energy field. This clairvoyant intuitive healer, we're going to make all of those skills rolled into one, like what might spiritual toolkit is. So that person is going to say, yes, I see that when you were 2 years old and you were just learning how to pick up a spoon to feed yourself and you missed, your father yelled at you for being a slob. And later on when you went to first grade and you were attempting to sing in the choir, and you had a solo, and you were singing beautifully, and then you hit a wrong note, and your music teacher told you how stupid you were and how wrong you were, and she took the solo away from you. And then you went to college, and you were dating somebody, and this person really thought you were smart and gorgeous and was very proud of you and being connected to you. And you went to make him dinner, and you burned it, and he blew up at you, and he ended the relationship. Do you see a pattern here?
Yes.
Mary, do you see a pattern?
Yes.
What would you say the pattern is? Let's hear you describe it, both of you, one at a time. Mary, you first, please.
So the pattern is situations present themselves that have the same components over and over again, and we react the same way with the basic belief that we're not good enough, no matter what we try.
That could be one belief, yeah. And the important thing you said, you named the pattern, that's right, and that is one belief that could come out of it. Great. What about you? Thank you. Barb, what about you?
Well, like Mary said, being very sensitive to what other people have to say about you. And having that be more important than what you feel in yourself. For example, that college situation, dating a person who really, really, really is proud to be connected with you, and you burned dinner and he broke it off. I'm not a cook, so that would definitely happen. But if that person was so, shallow that the fact that I didn't cook well would break it off, is really pretty stupid.
Well, the point, I hear where you're going, so let me just put this back into focus. So the reason that I'm mentioning that is that in all of these scenarios, the pattern is they're going for something, they think they're doing well, they're getting some momentum, and then it blows up. It's a sabotage of sorts. Now, your point is very valid. Your point, Barb, is that wasn't sabotage at all. That was saving that person from an incredibly horrible relationship, right?
Yeah.
So forget that part of the equation. You know, but you're right. You're absolutely right. And thank you for saying that.
Did I burn dinner on purpose?
Yeah, let's go there. Right. Okay. But the point is, and then we'll get off this. The point is that this person goes in to see one healer, and the healer sees this whole domino effect of how a pattern came about from experiences, because that healer could see constructs. That healer, clairvoyant, could look into that person's aura and just know or just see what happened to that person, right? Okay? Okay, now that person leaves that particular professional and goes into another room of another professional. And that professional has the skill of feeling. They don't necessarily see. They don't necessarily hear. They don't necessarily know. They just feel. Their talent is feeling, okay? So they run their fingers through that person's aura, and when they come to the heart chakra, they notice that there's like some sort of a tight ball, and the feeling is that it's blocking traffic, it's blocking energy flow, okay? And once that healer, we'll call it a healer, is able to feel it and able to take it out of the aura, which is the exercise that you've learned in working with your spirit guides, that person all of a sudden just feels so relieved because a construct, like a psychic surgery, has taken place, has been removed, you see?
Yes.
Then that person leaves that room and goes to the final professional, who's a hypnotherapist, and I'm a hypnotherapist also. So what would happen with the hypnotherapist is the person is still working on this sabotage thing, right?
Yep.
And the hypnotherapist puts this person into a trance. They do a regression, and the person goes back to some time that's actually not the three that first professional told her, but another one that is exactly the same kind of thing, that acts as a defining moment where she then set up decisions about life and formed some very limiting beliefs, and that has established her negative expectation of what she can expect to feel in life, and her behavior and her reality reflect all the above. You see?
Yes.
So the construct is established. It's connected to something that happened, and it has the ability to be transformed with the right kind of vehicles, and you're learning some of those vehicles. The chakra example, or the chakra exercise, gives you a energetic overlay, an energetic dominant replacement construct that will eventually neutralize anything that's there that is resisting, slowing down, or stopping the project success that you want, the goal success that you want. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So tell me how that was helpful for the two of you, please.
That these energy constructs can be manifested in various ways. Seeing situations, determining blocks or discerning blocks. Now, does the hypnotherapist say something to neutralize?
Yes. A hypnotherapist would offer embedded commands to help neutralize it. So absolutely, I don't need to cut you off. It's just I want to move on. But yes, because it's a reprogramming. It's a rescripting. Remember, we've talked about rescripting in our in our calls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, rescripting is reprogramming, exactly. And a hypnotherapist would do that. A hypnotherapist would go, a good hypnotherapist, would go help that person find those memories and then rescript them, reprogram them, so that the decisions that were made in the as the younger self gets upgraded to the adult self, because the adult self has more resources, has more experience, has more success. And then from there, as the adult self, that old program gets absorbed so that that person learns their lessons, but they are brought to what's realistic in their present time. They're no longer that two-year-old that has absolutely no ability to speak up for herself or protect herself, right? Okay, good. Anything else about the chakra exercise, Barb?
No, this is very helpful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your fabulous questions. Fabulous questions. Okay, Mary dear, we're talking about the mindfulness spell and we're talking about the chakra exercise.
Well, mindfulness spell was a great anchor to bring me back to the present moment and like always asking the question, higher self, what do I need to know right now? And I got the answer a couple of times, you know, stay focused on what you're working on and not try and do six things at once. And the other time was like your talking to people about writing their story, I want you to keep writing your story.
Okay, now writing your story. Go ahead.
Me, meaning I'm not doing enough writing of my own.
And writing means designing a new life, or writing means remembering your past and remembering where you've been, kind of thing.
Writing means that I have these ideas for things that I want to write to be published, and I'm not working on them.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, so stopping and listening and asking, what has that done to change your usage of time, your moods, and any inspirational insights? Other than that, that was a great one.
My stopping of time and bringing me back to what am I doing that's in front of me? Is this the best use of my time? And being the awareness of you made a list. Where are you with the list? And where are you with your commitment to what you were going to be doing at this time? So it's
good.
Always bringing me back to the awareness and focus.
Good. So you're finding that it's helping you with your productivity.
Yes.
Amen. Okay.
Yes.
Anything else in terms of your experience of the mindfulness bell?
Oh, it's very pleasant to just, there's a calmness and it's like, oh, take a breath.
Beautiful. Now, what about the chakra exercise? What have you noticed has been the effect of that?
I enjoy the refining the image of the quill pen and placing that into my chakras and that representing the new program and playing the video of all of these excited and joyful clients who are just like, oh, I'm so happy that we have this tool that you've created for us, and we have this process that we can work through. And it's just going through the chakras and embedding the pen and holding it and seeing their faces. It's rich every time I hear it and do it.
And so when you do that, what shows up in your outer world? Okay, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited to get busy on, well, what can I do in this time that I have to work on this right now? And just keeping my notes about, well, I can't work on this right now, but I can commit this idea to the page.
Okay. Now, in terms of manifesting your project, and I'll come back to you on this one, Barbara, also. In terms of manifesting your project and using the chakra exercise to build that broadcast, activated magnetism in your auric field to bring to you the people, places, and circumstances that will support you in accomplishing your project. Have you noticed anything?
I have noticed how I am carrying myself with more confidence, that I know I have the expertise to serve who comes to me with needing to get something written.
Okay, and so what say that again? You found that it did what?
Just like the transmissions of grade said, lean back, and my hip didn't hurt. After I listened to the chakra, it's like, oh yeah, I can act as if I've already completed the program, because I have all of the components within me. And when someone asks me a question about part of the program, I already have the answer. And so I show up with more confidence in that I know I have the expertise.
That's wonderful. Now, that is exactly what happens when somebody is reprogrammed. Because they go from one behavior and they work over a bridge. They transition themselves in increments to the new behavior until that bridge disappears and they just are that. Right?
Right.
So you're doing it. You're doing it. Do you have another example? Go back and think from our last class if there's another example where that exercise of implanting the thought form, which is the symbol, and then creating the visualization, which is step four of our energy management formula, used to reprogram and used to activate in your energy field so that it's magnetic to bring to you the people, places, and circumstances. Can you think of another example where that happened?
Well, I think in my comfort, what I displayed in my comfort level yesterday in the video, I was just talking about how I have the passion to help you create what you're here to create, to the message that you are here to deliver. And I just felt this electricity in saying, I know you can do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and the gals were leaning in like, tell us more. I was breathing it out. And it was in my whole presentation. I was there with it.
Yes, you showed up, you stood up, you were accounted for, and you claimed who you are, is what I'm hearing, yes?
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you. How about you, Barb? Did you see any at all of a outer world response to what you're doing with the chakra exercise?
I'm seeing some results from since starting that on Sunday. Seeing some results from seeds that had been previously planted. So someone in a networking group to which I belong had tried to contact me while I was in Cuba. And instead of giving up, because, of course, I was in Cuba and I didn't answer, she persisted. And we had a very good conversation on Monday, talking about a client that she works with who is in need of some copyright education and information and some advice. She has an archive of 100 years worth of stuff, and there really is no policy in place, and she's not sure what she can use and can't use, and they're coming up on a big centennial celebration. So now it's important. So we had a very nice conversation about what I could offer, and then I sent her a little outline of the services that I could offer in this particular situation. And there were several aspects that I could help with. So I sent that to her, and she thanked me for sending it, and she was going to be talking with the client. Someone I met on...
Well, wait, hang on. Let me stop you for a minute. I just want to make sure I'm following you here. So are these examples of outer world experiences that you feel are definitely connected to the programming and the activation of your energy field that you've been doing by using that chakra exercise?
Well, some of those seeds were previously planted, but they weren't bearing any fruit.
Okay, I'm going to ask you again because I'm really, the thing about doing exercises, about anything, you know, it could be sit-ups, I don't care, is we have to at some point get some evidence that it's worth doing, you know, that it's working. And that's why I ask these questions, because I want you to feel, if you do eventually feel, that this particular exercise, let's say, really does do something. Because, heck, it takes time to do that exercise. So why bother unless it's producing some results, right?
Yes.
So I'm asking you, yeah.
It's a little hard because to determine the cause and effect and a control group and whatnot.
Yeah,
those things were not coming to fruition before I started the chakras. Now, whether or not the chakra exercise is what is bringing them forward, I don't know.
Right. Okay. Good. But you just said it. It wasn't happening before you started doing that exercise, right?
Right.
Now, we're talking about from the last time we met, which I think is Wednesday or Thursday of last week, right?
Right. Right. Thursday.
To today. So prior to that class, none of these kinds of little sprouts popping up were happening, right?
Right.
Are now.
Yes.
Okay, so... I will always state we cannot say definitively that that exercise
is causing that to happen. However, I do feel very strongly that I am in integrity to say that it certainly is helping.
Right.
So I would say you are doing it right, honey.
Thank you. And sort of a snowball effect.
That's right.
It's cool.
That's right. That's what happens when a new program gets installed, gets reinforced, is that it starts to do what I call signs of land, and then it becomes an amazing manifestation. It becomes an amazing, unmistakable, oh my God, I got it, reality. Reprogramming, the reason that it has to be repeated is because it takes time to have all of the energies do whatever they're going to do with regards to people, places, circumstances, and divine timing for the right things to line up at the right time. That's what reprogramming is. That's what programming is, and that's what reprogramming is. Programming is when you just want to create something from nothing. Reprogramming is when you've got something that you want to change to be doing something else, right? You understand the difference between the two?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else about the chakra exercise, Barbara, that you, now that you heard what Mary said, and now that you heard me qualify things a little bit, can you think of another instance to share with us that you feel is suspiciously connected to the results of the chakra exercise?
Well, there was a possible project that had been languishing, and every once in a while I would say, well, you know, how's this going? What's the next step? Is this going to be funded? And so I poked again on...
Okay, now I'm going to stop you because I'm losing you. I'm sorry. What is it that you're saying that you feel is connected to the impact of that exercise? I don't mean to sound rude. It's just I'm losing it here.
Sure. We finally have an appointment set to move forward.
Okay.
Now, we've had those appointments before, but I'm being optimistic that this one time they're really ready.
Okay. All right. The important thing is that you're seeing that the influence of that exercise could, at this stage for you, could in fact be helping to create the things that you want in your outer world. Is that a fair summary on my part? Okay, excellent. So just as home play to give you, and then we're going to move on to another component here, but I just want you to get it down in your notes. With regards to the mindfulness bell, I'd like you to continue. When it goes off, I'd like to add another thing, and if it's too much to do each time, then choose one over the other. However, what I'd like you to add is not only to stop and ask your higher self, what do I need to know now? But I'd also like you to practice and getting a feel for connecting with the soul essence of the project that you want to have completed by February, where you're asking your soul essence, what do I need to do next for my project? So the words are, what do I need to do next for my project? And let me know when you've both written that down. What do I need to do next for my project? You got that? Okay. So you will notice with practice, you may not notice it at first, but with practice, there's going to be a different something that you pick up on with your intuition when you are reaching out to communicate with your higher self versus reaching out to connect with the soul essence of your project. they're going to be two separate energy beings. The soul essence of your project, maybe you'll pick up on a guide or an angel that is helping you with this project. Maybe it'll be a group of souls that have already come together to help you with that project. Or maybe it's going to be a part that you've created in your own psyche that is a symbol of a helper. Regardless, it's going to be different than your own higher self. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that gets too crazy-making for you, then stick with talking to your higher self and asking the question, what do I need to do now about anything? And then ask your higher self the same question, what do I need to do next for my project?
Okay.
Every time that bell goes off, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be washing dishes, you know, you could be vacuuming, you could be talking to your girlfriend on the phone. If that bell goes off, find a way of, if you're talking to somebody, just asking them to hang on 1 minute, you just have to think about something. Or do it in a way where you feel that you're not, you know, going to draw any negative attention to yourself. Or do it silently in your head and somehow keep your attention on what's going on in front of you, but also be listening for your guidance. Because we have to do that in everyday life. We're in the middle of something and we want guidance now. And somebody's talking to us or talking at us, depending upon what's going on. And I want you to start getting in the habit of tuning into your intuition while life is happening right there in front of you. You're not in the less challenging situation of, you know, being quiet in a room and nobody's home and doing your exercises, right? So I'm going to let that, I'll leave it up to you. If you want to practice creating two separate sources that you go to, or if you just want to ask two questions to your higher self. Okay, that's one exercise for homework, play, home play. The other is to definitely continue with the chakra exercise because you're building momentum and that's what this course is all about. And again, the chakra exercise is creating a magnetic field that you are activating that broadcasts out into your world, that brings to you the people, places, and circumstances that are in alignment for this project or anything that you want to manifest. You want to manifest clients plus your project. In case your project is not clients, then you can use this exercise at two different settings, sessions with yourself. So that you are programming. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys you guys doing okay? You're not overwhelmed?
Nope.
Okay. Now, last week, what I gave you for home play was to communicate with the soul essence of your completion project, right? Did I say that to you last time? I have it in my notes, but I may not have gotten to it. Does that sound like Russian to you guys right now?
Yeah, it's Russian because
okay, all right,
forget it then. Yeah, because we finished up the
the handout.
Whatever was incomplete on the handout.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So essentially, this mindfulness bell exercise is you talking to the soul essence of your project, which is going to, you're going to help find that soul essence. You're going to be able to focus better to locate that soul essence by
hello,
Sasha.
Oh, good, you're
okay.
Still there, Mary.
We can hear each other, but
right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Well,
yeah.
Wow, something very weird happened. Trust me, it was weird. Okay, a way that you can get your focus to zero in on the soul essence of this project is to just think about the completion of it, what it's going to be like when it's completed. And then when you think of it in its completion, the details of what's going to have been established, that will help you find the soul essence of your project. Does that make sense?
How does that differ from visualizing the emotions?
It's the same. The only difference now is that you're giving it like a personality. You're giving it an embodiment, a symbol. Whereas when you're just visualizing and experiencing the emotional energy, that is for having done the project itself. It's not from you having talked to somebody or some aspect of yourself. So an example would be, let's say that, let me see if I can come up with something. Yeah. Let's say you're getting ready for a meeting to talk to a prospective client. And you know how to visualize to prepare yourself before that meeting so that it goes as smoothly and most successfully, right?
Yeah.
So doing that visualization and you creating the feeling of that person saying, yes, you've been what I've been looking for, the price is right, here's my credit card, let's set up our schedule. You visualizing and feeling that is separate from that person is right smack in front of you. And you're having that conversation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you thinking about the completion of your project and you wanting to talk to the soul essence of your project to find out what the next step is the difference between visualizing something like a conversation that you're about to have and then you actually dialing the telephone, picking up the phone, and actually talking to that person. Right?
Yep.
Does that help? Now, your questions are excellent because what you're doing is you are isolating all roads that lead to Rome. Rome still is the successful completion of your project. However, traveling these different roads help you to make sure you get there. Do you see what I mean? Mary, does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Barb, are you clear? I can move on?
Yep.
Great. Okay. So you're going to continue doing the chakra exercise and continue to work with the success emotions where you really feel the completion of your project. You're going to be communicating with your higher self and with the soul essence of your project if you want to, using the mindfulness bell as a trigger or any other time. And you're going to put all of this communication and creative ideas that you get and amazing miracles that are happening into your journal. Are you using your journal?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, I did give you home plate to just at least look over the objections part of your client enrollment handout, right?
Yes.
Mary, did you know that?
To look over the objections part of the client enrollment.
Okay, that sounds like you didn't know. But okay, Barb, you did though?
Yep.
And did you remember, pardon?
I'm making a note.
Yeah, Barb, were you saying something more, Barb?
No.
Okay. And then also I had mentioned to review the mindset, the beginning part of the handout where you're going over the mindset of you having value, your products and services having value. Did you review that, Barb?
Yes.
Okay. And you didn't, right, Mary?
Well, I did when I was going through the the handout?
I'm talking, well, there are two different handouts. There's the handout number one.
Not the client enrollment. No, that's right.
Okay.
I did not.
So this is good. Every time that you're getting ready for this class, I urge you all to listen through at least the end part of the recording so you get your home play assignments.
Uh-huh.
And also, as I had mentioned, ideally for you to set aside time to listen to the entire class, because there are going to be things you're going to forget happened. Are you guys willing to do that? I am getting a little restless over here. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So my suggestion, which I mentioned last time, is to put in your calendar when you're going to take time to listen to the recording and to do your home play, okay? So that way you own it without having me in your ear.
Yep.
During the live class.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, now let's talk about the handout, the class number. So anyway, what I do want you to do is read through again. Just keep reading that mindset. And like you are starting to really feel it, Barb, start noticing the negative beliefs that keep popping up that say, that mindset is not me. I can't pull this off. And then do the exercise from your client enrollment class or your role playing, whichever one it was that I taught it to you, to replace that negative limiting belief with one that says, I can and I am, right?
Yep.
Do you remember that exercise, Mary, in the handout from the client enrollment class?
Yes.
Okay. When you read through the mindset of a successful, prosperous entrepreneur that's in the client enrollment handout, it is meant to reprogram you, and now you have a really good understanding of reprogramming, right?
Right.
Yes.
And you, Mary, already are experiencing the reprogramming happening, and you, Barb, are also. Do you see that in your respective lives?
Yes.
Good. Now the same thing is with the objections. I want to have you read through the objections over and over again. If you want to visualize yourself, which I have given you as exercises in the past, before you have a potential client enrollment conversation or even before you go into a networking event, that you are really infused, imbued, saturated with what I wrote about the objections and the mindset, but right now we're talking about objections, so that when you hear them, you just go for it because you now have a new programming of what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Does that sound? Tell me how you feel about that homework assignment. Let me hear, please.
Oh, absolutely. It makes sense. It's
Yep.
Anchoring in.
Yes, anchoring in and programming are synonymous. They're basically saying the same thing, so yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. In fact, I did that myself just recently. I'll just tell you real quickly. I studied these objections, as you know. That's why I'm able to teach it. And I was talking to a leader who has her own group, and she's a wealth mentor, and she's very successful, and she's having a struggle with something. It's a good kind of struggle. It's the kind of struggle we'd all like to have or that we would look upon. I mean, I have the same struggle, too, from time to time, but what I mean is it's not a terrible struggle. It's I'm really doing what I love, and now I'm growing, and here's my next struggle kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now offering for new people an hour and a half breakthrough session at an ungodly low rate. And she doesn't know me from Adam, and we got on the phone just as a networking call to become referral partners. But you guys know me enough by now. I'm always listening to see how I can be of service and how I might have something for that person. And so my bells and whistles went off, and I started to do, and I told her outright, because, you know, we know what it is to market. I said, okay, up until now, we've been talking about supporting each other and what our projects are, but now I'm going to market myself to you. You know, I made it really light and fluffy. And I said, so are you ready, is what I said to her. And she laughed, and she said, okay. And I went into an enrollment part. And she gave this objection. She said, I think that this really would be good for me. And I said, okay, that sounded like medium rare. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she laughed. And I said to her, and, you know, what we're doing now is what you encounter with your clients in your enrollment conversation. So I made it so transparent that there's no room for Barbara's famous sleazy stuff that you are so paranoid about, Barb. And bottom line is I pulled out the one objection antidote that was relevant. And I said to her, so what would you need to get out of this hour and a half or 2 hours with me that would make it worth your investment? And so she told me. And then I said, okay, what would we need to establish so that you made a decision in this conversation, yes or no, I don't care, but to make a decision because, and here I said something that came out of me, I didn't learn this from another coach, and I said, because God knows you don't need another incompletion draining your subconscious mind with another thing you have to think about. So making a decision is going to be smart for you anyway, either way, yes or no. Did both of you follow what I just said to her on that?
Yes.
That it does drain people when they have something in the back of their mind. Whether they think about it consciously or not, it's there. And it is draining. And to make a decision, especially when you know what the decision is, she knew what the decision was. She was doing whatever she was doing. But we encounter that all the time with people. They just have a hard time putting the ball into the hole. Right. So she went with it. She went ahead and bought it because she saw what she was doing, and there was no point in her thinking about it. And I wasn't, and I kept it all very light, just as you heard. So was me running that by you of any use to either one of you?
It was wonderful to hear. Keep it light, but show up.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. How about for you, Barb? What did you gain out of that story?
Well, that these objections come up even with people who know the process and encounter those objections from other people. And so here, and by keeping it light and talking to another professional, being able to say, well, here's an example, and let's see how we resolve it or where it goes.
Yeah, I think it what saved it was me telling her, I shouldn't say it that way. I think that what helped tremendously was us claiming each other to be equal professionals who have to do this in our own business, and it just softened the energy entirely. You know? Okay, good. Let's move on. So I want you to, please, for home play, get those objections in your pores because you'll get a chance to feel like you're just sliding down this great slope because you know where the turns and the bumps are, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, good. Now, let's talk about, in these last few moments, let's talk about your projects. Let's hear each of you tell me where you're stuck and how I can support you. And we're going to do it in 10 minutes because I am really committed in this course, and I know you're going to be happy, given what happened in the other course, to completing on time. or either your projects are intolerable, it's either one, since you nobody's jumping right up. So I just want to be here for you to coach you in these last 10 minutes.
Go ahead,
Barb.
No. Go ahead.
I don't have a specific question that we could do right here. I know I need to break it up into smaller chunks, and I have done some work on it, but it's breaking it down even more.
Okay, so I recommend that the two of you set a phone date and support each other on stuff like that, you know, where you basically say, you know, you can call it accountability partners, I don't care, you're support sisters, right? You just say, okay, here's where I'm at with my project. Here's what my project completion looks like. I need help with this. And help each other. Does that sound doable?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Is there anything, Mary, that I can help you with, and then I'll go to you, Barb, that I can help you with regarding your project, with regards to the value of your project, you know, to your community, with regards to your self-image, with regards to you getting yourself out there and, you know, looking for ways of lead generation for discovery sessions? Anything at all, and also regarding your intolerables, anything I can help you with before I move to Barb?
I just, knowing that I can reach out to either one of you is helpful, and it's me being accountable to showing up and tracking the stuff that is holding me back and doing it.
Okay, the just doing it really has more shadow, hidden issues than most people realize, because we all know what we should be doing. The question is, we're not doing it. So just do it is not really a strategy, you know, because if you could, you would.
Yeah. I know.
So what is it that's stopping you? Tell me quickly.
The shadow stuff of, do I talk about, I know I have the expertise, and then I was like, but really? So.
Okay, so Barb, I'm going to give you an assignment to help her. Sorry to cut you off. I just want to get to Barb.
Right.
When you guys get on your phone call, Barb, this is what I'm going to ask you to please do, in addition to your other brilliant intelligence and heartfelt supportive wisdom. And that is for her to tell you why she does have the expertise. So you're going to say, Mary, tell me why, all the reasons why you do have the expertise and you can do this. Okay, Barb, is that clear?
Yep.
Mary, you're going to tell Barb all the reasons why you can do this and why you do have the expertise.
Okay.
All right, so that phone call's coming up between the two of you. Great. Okay, Barb, honey, what can I help you with regards to your intolerables or the project? And I'm going to aim for finishing in 5 minutes. That's my intention.
I have trouble describing their current challenge or pain that my product or service will resolve. Because I have put some descriptions in, but oftentimes they don't know what they don't know, and they don't know they have a current challenge or pain.
Right, and that's where, okay, let me just be quiet to tune in for a second here. The the way for you to get solid on that, Barb, is for you to keep researching and reminding yourself why the things that you're offering, the copywriting, the researching, the trademarking, what else do you do? You do some editing, right? I mean, that was one of your recent clients. The assignment that I would give you is for you to, now I'm saying it 5 minutes before we complete, so you can fast forward to 5 minutes before the hour is up or thereabouts. Your job is to brainstorm scenarios where people find themselves in the situation where they need what you have. That is going to be, I think, a big breakthrough for you, is to just sit down with a cup of tea, coffee, wine, I don't care, and just do a brain dump of all the possible scenarios having to do with research, trademarks, copyright, editing, that people could find themselves in. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
And what I would like you to do, Mary, for Barb, when you get on your conversation, is for you to work with her, maybe to do some role-playing where you are helping her ask questions of her potential client. When you follow the client enrollment script, Barb, whatever step it is that talks about the pain and their challenges, where you find that out is when they tell you what their ideal vision is, and then you go to, why don't they have it? Why aren't you there? Why is it that you aren't having your ideal vision actually be the life you're leading? That's going to be a beginning for you to know what kinds of questions to ask. Does that help?
Yes. And when you and I were working on beliefs, we also worked on some questions, and we talked about, have you ever needed or do you foresee yourself needing X?
Yes, so what she described to Mary, what you're talking about, so that Mary can get benefit too. Yes, that's absolutely right, Barb. I'm so happy that you remembered that really worked for you. Please just repeat it for Mary.
Talking with someone and saying, well, after, you know, a little getting to know each other, have you ever wanted, or do you expect yourself to want assistance with
whatever.
Whatever. And so the point of that is that either they have had or they may have in the future, and it doesn't press them to say, do you need it right now? It takes them into their past and takes them into their future. To see how they might need it, and then they might realize that they do need it right now, but that's up to them to recognize.
Does that make sense, Mary?
Yes.
So what you're doing by asking them, have they ever used it, if they don't need it now, is it might jog them to consider employing it, needing it, and actually doing it now. That's basically the bottom line, in which case you can come forward with your own services. See how that works?
Yep.
Okay, good. So the two of you are going to work with each other to really uncover the areas where the project is not humming along enough or is the next stage of support that you need, and also your intolerables, to please review the intolerables with each other. So it's two things that you're going to be talking about: momentum with your project completion and momentum with your intolerable resolutions, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, good. And then just as a reminder, what, Barb, honey, what?
I was just wondering when it is that we have our group call the next time. I was just going to look.
What group call?
The three of us, like we're doing right now.
I don't know. You'd have to go to the website page because all the dates are there. They also, the dates are in our Facebook group in the About tab. All of the dates are there.
I think it's December 1st.
I don't know. I mean, just look it up, okay?
Yeah.
So I'd like you both for home play also just to report in on your intolerable so I can see how that's going. I also want to ask you to please look over any loose ends because next week we're going to talk about sending out an invitation for a strategy session to your email. So what you're going to do is to make a list of contacts that you want to mail this email to. And if you already have your current subscription list, great, but I'd like you to look at your connections on Facebook also. And if they're not in your subscriber list, which of course many of them won't be, at least you could be direct messaging them on Facebook. We're going to be talking about that next week. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really time, and I'm doing this for myself. In fact, that's how I got this new client was I said, okay, it's time for you to start doing more lead generation, Sasha. And I went to a networking event. I haven't been to a networking event in I don't know how long. And, had this conversation with this person, and she hired me. So I'm doing the same thing that I'm giving you. I'm really looking at who's in my universe and how am I going to, organize my time to pick up the phone and call people and also contact them on Facebook. So I'm just telling you that where we're heading next is you using two camps, your Facebook connections, because I'm not involved with LinkedIn yet, or else I'd give you that. Your Facebook connections and your subscriber list and anybody else who you really think you should at least get back in touch with. I really want you to take some time and knock out a prospect list. A prospect list that could either be a referral connection or a potential client. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
So a prospect list for the next time?
Yes, for our next session.
Okay.
So you and I, Mary, have talked about this a long time ago, so you should have something at least started. So now we're just going to get to the place where you're going to have a lot of people that you're going to email and or private message on Facebook about a strategy session that we're going to go into great depth about next time.
Okay.
So loose ends in terms of, Mary, if you haven't figured out how to center that thing on your web page, can you make sure that you get it done for our next class?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it makes such a difference, Mary, honey. Have you gotten in touch with Linda about that?
Yes.
Okay, so is it feasible for you to get all that in place so that you can create web pages where things are centered when they should be centered and so on?
Yes.
Okay, yay. So loose ends in terms of credit cards and being able to take money and your electronic calendar working and knowing how to work with web pages, those are the loose ends I just want you to review so that you've got all of the technology ready to support our next project. Okay, guys?
Good.
Okay.
So let's complete with you. We'll go around the room and to let me know what the highlights of today's call. And before you do that, I just want you both to know that the handbook for tonight's membership call has been emailed to you several hours ago. So if you haven't gone to your email recently, it's going to be there now.
Okay.
All right. Highlights from today's training. Yay. Who wants to go first?
Learning about energy constructs and how they are formed and how they are reprogrammed, and how there's a difference between my higher self and my soul essence, my project soul essence. Those clarifications were very helpful.
Wonderful. Anything else for you?
Well, there's just, you know, so much here.
Right, but whatever always, whatever stands out.
Yeah, I always learn good things from Mary, so.
Oh, I'm so glad that I asked more questions so you could give that compliment to Mary. Yay!
Yes,
thank you, Barb.
Really good questions.
Yeah. Anything else, Barb, or shall I go on to Mary?
You can go on to Mary.
Thank you. All right, Mary, highlights.
I learned a lot from Barb's questions. And I started out on a high with transmissions of grace just physically supporting me and having the refinement of the energy constructs and listening for the soul essence, talking to the soul essence of my project. That's going to be exciting. And I just felt a sense of relief. I was like, oh, yeah, I can talk to my project about what's going on and why I'm not getting in there. So I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Yes.
Wonderful. Anything else you can think of highlights, and then we'll call it a day.
No.
Nope.
Okay. Well, ladies, we did it. Number 3. All right. Well, I will see you both at the training call. It's a big whopper training call, I'm telling you. My guides were coming through me with such intensity when I recorded it. So I hope you both can make it. And love you both. See you next time real soon.
Yes. And I'll see you,
see you real soon.
I'll see you in about an hour and a half for a one-to-one.
Right, right. There's soon and then there's sooner than soon.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.